Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Brad Hansen, who's one of four candidates for two seats on the Palmer City Council on the election that will be held on October 3rd, 2017. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Mike.
So I've got six questions, and I'll ask them in order. The first question, and it's a multi-part question. How do you see yourself working with others serving on the council? Do you collaborate well across ideological divides? And although local elected positions are considered nonpartisan, how do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, the first part of your question on how do you see yourself working with others serving on the council? I've been on the council, Mike, for 19 years. And through the course of 19 years, I think we accomplished many, many, many good things for the city of Palmer. Quality of life has increased dramatically in the community. I think residents are satisfied with their local governments. I think they're satisfied with the level of services they get from the government. But in order for any of those things to happen and all of those things to happen, you ought to be able to work with the people that you're with on Tuesday nights. Without the collaboration and the four votes, nothing can be accomplished. And that includes, you know, working with the administration, because the administration, obviously, in our form of government is the key to this, is you got to have an administration that shares the values you do and are willing to work for those same values. So as far as working across, working with others in on the council, I think that over the course of my tenure on the council, it's been a great experience. Your other questions are?
How do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, typically, you know, as you know, the local elections are nonpartisan issues, or nonpartisan political bodies. Obviously, there are a certain amount of party influence in relationships. You know, it wouldn't be politics if you didn't have a base of your knowledge. So I don't think it plays a very little role in the city of Palmer over the course of my involvement. I think everybody that I've worked with on the council, their number one interest is promoting the health and welfare of the city of Palmer. And so, you know, I don't think it applies too much to our council in the past. It does seem that there may be some bigger interests from political parties to get involved and influence this. But, you know, I'm going to treat the next phase of my life on the council as I have in the past, and that is to do what I think is best for the community, and party politics are kind of secondary.
Okay. Well, thank you. Question number two, how do you reach your constituents, especially those feeling left out of the public policy conversation or those that may feel disenfranchised?
Yeah. You know, this is something that I think goes to the healthier economy. I think your community, and that is when people are engaged and involved, you know, there's a certain amount of satisfaction, there's a certain amount of love, there's a certain amount of you know, commitment to seeing things through. And I think it's important for the city to be a facilitator of information and solicit advice and interest from a lot of different levels across the community. You know, because you guys are a benefit, that, you know, a number of years ago we engaged your organization to participate so we could broadcast our meetings so that people could not have to come to City Hall to know what was going on. And, you know, so I think that's been successful. You know, lately we've had some major projects in the city of Palmer that are important to the long-term future and health of our community. And we actually approved Tuesday night more money for engineers because they had to conduct additional open houses to inform the public on these events, their their impact on them, and you know what it means to long-term health of the community. So I think we do a pretty good job of reaching out to the people in our community. And I think we'll continue to do it. As far as individuals, you know, the nice thing about local politics is you have to go to the store and you meet your constituents on a daily basis, interacting with them. And that's important because they'll give you a feel for how they feel about the community. They're not ashamed. They're not afraid to tell you what their needs are. And so, you know, that's the beauty of local politics is you're down in the trenches with everybody fighting the same battles. So I think we do a pretty good job.
Okay. Thank you. Question number three. What is your stance on term limits? The assembly has limits. Do you think that's good or bad? And the Palmer City Council has discussed a ballot initiative about term limits. Should there be more discussion?
I think there always needs to be more discussion about issues that are important to the community. This is really a very complex question. And you know, I think term limits are a discussion that we need to have. There are term limits every October. Two council seats run, and people have the opportunity to either say yay or nay to any incumbent. So I think the election process is an important process, and I think we're having a wonderful election process this time with four candidates running and four people engaged in the community, four people working hard to try to get their message out, and I think that this is a part of the process. Three of the current council seats, three of seven, are in their first terms on the council. So we have turnover. We have new ideas. We have fresh perspectives on the council. As far as term limits themselves, I think the electorate is smart enough and in tuned enough with candidates to make their decision based on who or shouldn't be elected. Term limits, to me, are problematic from the standpoint that, you know, you're legislating, turning over some of your most experienced people. And experience matters at city government, because not only do you have the history of the evolution of certain ordinances or certain thought processes, but you also have the ability to understand how this whole governance system works in the city of Palmer. And we have a strong manager form of government, and we have to make sure that their values, his values, her values are the same as the community's. And I think experience plays a major role in being able to see the transition from one city manager to the other. You know, so there's lots of nuances to this whole thing, and you can talk about the borough. I think one of the borough's major problems is that they have such a high turnover that when they're talking about major projects, major initiatives, you know, people get elected and that's their mission. And sometimes these things take more than 6 years to accomplish. They take years and years and years. And what a prime example is the bike path over there behind the depot. Some of my friends and myself included worked very hard to get the Palmer Urban Revitalization Project a reality. And now after 8-9 years of the allocation of the $1.2 million to do it, we're finally seeing a completion of the two little stretches we have. So things take time. And I think the consistency and the experience of having people that are involved is vitally important to have an organization that can have a consistent mission, and it will help minimize the cost of doing different projects.
Okay.
I think I answered most of your question there, Mike.
I think you did. Mike Malevsky here with Brad Hansen, one of four candidates for two council seats on the Palmer City Council. Question number four. How do you view your relationship with the state as a local policymaker, and what would you like to see the state provide to the city of Palmer in light of the current fiscal crisis? And do you support being a member of statewide organizations such as the Alaska Municipal League in order to influence state policies?
My relationship with our state legislators currently is excellent. I've been in contact with them through the course of this campaign, all of them, and they've encouraged me to be out there and be a major player in this. They believe in the city of Palmer, so the relationship that I have with them is good, and I enjoy that relationship. They have a lot to offer, and so my relationship is good. I will say that, you know, the city of Palmer is kind of the downstream of all the different government entities and organizations. And as a result of that, we have to have a great relationship with everybody above us, because we're the beneficiaries of their work, through pass-through grants, through municipal revenue sharing, through DEC grants, through all the things that kind of allows us to leverage our resources with their resources and make this a better community. So it's important and it's vital for the city of Palmer to have a good relationship, a working relationship with state policymakers. And in the last 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, I think that we have gotten better and better and better at that relationship. We've as a community have benefited immensely from our relationship by grants, our vision being consistent with their vision, and being able to move this community forward with infrastructure projects, primarily. So it's vital for the long-term success. Now, having said that, the state is in some financial difficulty, and what we need for them to do is to make sure that they can provide us with an environment that is relatively stable. You know, they can't do anything about oil prices, but they can do stuff about the level of the government or how they're going to fund government. They can come to some type of some part where they can make this thing be a more of a stable environment for us. So to your point, or to your question about the AML, I think the AML is an important organization. You know, it serves as kind of a intermediary between all the different cities, all the different municipalities, and acts as one voice in Juneau and assist us in some of our needs. But the number one relationship we have to have is with our legislators. They understand what our needs and desires are as a community. They live in this community, and a number of them have served on local boards and in positions of authority in the city. So it's important that we do those. Another thing, the state has to also, I think that they need to make some type of mechanism that allows, state is hurting for capital type projects. We have done a wonderful job over the course of the last 10 years of not only investing in our own infrastructure and investing in the quality of life in Palmer, but also building a reserve that's necessary to be able to get through this economic downturn. We as a council have anticipated the state having revenue issues. And so we've made a conscious effort to save money to be able to respond to this. And so my point here is that the federal government has monies for pass-through, for DEC, through the EPA. They need to develop some type of mechanism that we can help support them with their match our match being their match so that we can benefit from those federal monies. We have a wastewater treatment facility that needs to be a phase two completed so that we can meet our compliance order with the EPA. And it's important that we get outside revenues to be able to support, to be able to complete that project. So that's one mechanism. Another thing that the state, the question, Mike, was that what can the state do also?
Right.
You know, the retirement system is a big one. You know, we currently spend about 23% of our payroll on cost of PERS. And that cost has been fairly consistent over the course of the last number of years. But in the past, it's fluctuated some based on kind of additional appropriations, and our contribution rate has changed. And so, you know, we need to be able to know what those rates are. They are currently subsidizing it, or I should say parent paying their share at, you know, about a 20-some percent rate to help catch up with some of the underfunded times in the past because of actuarial problems. But we just need to know what our cost is going to be, because that plays a huge impact on our ability to provide services to the city residents. When you're talking 23% of payroll, you know, any changes to those can dramatically impact what you can and can't provide the residents. So that's another thing that we need to make sure that the state has a firm handle on, and is the retirement system costs to pass through to the city. So anything else there, Mike?
I think you covered that. I think you did. Let's move on to question number 5. What is your perspective on the way the city council functions currently? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose? For example, full-time or strong mayor?
Yeah. Okay. I will go to your strong mayor, first of all. I don't support a strong mayor form of government. I think the city of Palmer operates pretty well at having a strong manager form. You know, strong mayor forms of government are have the same kind of problems that, in my mind, that you would have if you had term limits, and that is, you know, dramatic turnover in leadership, policy changes, and different thought processes. And I don't think that that's the way a local government, a community of 7,000 people, can operate effectively and efficiently and continue to reliably provide services to citizens. So I don't support a strong form of mayor form of government. I do, however, support an active and involved mayor, one that's, you know, a face of the city government, one that is in the community, promoting healthy items, doing a lot of different stuff as far as for community based. You know, you need to have a good face. You need to have active and people understanding what the mayor does. But I don't support the administrative part of having a strong mayor. You know, this whole thing started with Jim Cooper. Jim Cooper took the mayor's role and responsibility to a new level. He, you know, he was actively involved in all aspects of the community. He great passion. He was responsible for the downtown city lights, which I think are a wonderful attraction for Palmer. So you also asked
how does the current city council function currently?
I think it functions pretty well. I think that, you know, you have some different views, different perspectives, different ideas, but that's a part of a strong community. You got people. It's a very respectful group. We don't have big disputes, big fights. I think for the most part, our mission is all the same. We believe in the city. We love the city. We want to see the best for its residents. We want to see the best for its businesses. And I think that we have a vibrant, wonderful community. And so, you know, that's a reflection of how well you can function as community leaders and policymakers. There's always changes needed. There's, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. And so you have to always have change. We are constantly talking about ways to improve, ways to make things better. And that's a part of being a vibrant community. So I think things are going very well. I mean, we in the last 20 years, this community has came a long ways. And I think that's been a result of different ideas, but for the most part, people working together to see benefits for the community.
Okay, last question, question number 6. Should you win election and serve on the council, what topics have you identified as most important to you?
Well, the most important thing is that we continue to grow as a community. Like I've said a few times, we've come a long ways, and we have a long ways to go. We have a number of major projects in the city, specifically the wastewater treatment facility, that we have to bring to completion. And we have to do that in such a way that it doesn't inhibit the ability of people to live in the city. When I mean, you know, rates can't be dramatically different than they are today. We had a certain amount of rising of rates to be able to pay for this project that's going to be nearly $16 million. Hopefully, it will benefit our community going forward. There was much consternation on our having to do it in the first place, but we are past that, and we're down the road to fixing our wastewater treatment facilities. Other issues that are important to this community, I think, is we started a long time ago a gravel to pavement program that I think has enhanced the downtown area. It has enhanced neighborhoods. It has made it a healthier place to live. And we got to complete that. Mike, you remember when our cross streets weren't even paved and it was difficult to get to the post office without knocking your muffler off your car. Those days are behind us, and I think it's benefited our community internally, but also the perception of people coming to our downtown, our many, many downtown events, and starting really loving this community as much as many of us do. The other thing that we have to continue to do, I think over the course of my tenure on the city council, we've made great investments in our community. We've made the right investments that have paid off. We haven't made investments that really turned into serious losers. You know, and those investments were easy to make because they were infrastructure investments. Like I brought up the roads, but also the steel water main replacement projects was a major part of our roads projects. Through Tom Healy and Rick Cook's leadership, we were able to put together a comprehensive program that included redoing steel water mains, at the same time upgrading our streets to a point that we could economically repave them. You know, and that happened also by redoing the code. And I was obviously, it was a little bit while ago, but changing the assessment method was a major reason why people bought into repaving roads. Won't go into the specifics of that, but it was a project that encouraged people to redo it. You know, and lastly, we talked a lot about the infrastructure improvements, which improve the quality of life. But, you know, I think the other part of the quality of life is the city of Palmer has invested in downtown, invested in our kids through ballparks and trails and ice rinks and all those things. And, you know, it's a healthier place to live than it was 20 years ago. People feel better about coming in and being a part of this community. Builders look at our community and what we have to offer and say, this is a place I can build and make money, and people will buy houses to want to live here. And, you know, all of those things take policymakers that get it and understand how communities need to be moved forward. And so it's important that going forward, you have people on the council that are experienced, that have the competency and the knowledge of where we've been and where we need to go to be able to fulfill the values and the desires of current and future residents.
Okay. Well, thank you. Brad Hansen, one of four candidates for two seats on the Palmer City Council. Any last, final other comments you'd like to make before we finish?
No, Mike, it was a pleasure coming in and talking to you here today. I think that this is a great addition to the city of Palmer. You know, and I know how hard you personally worked on Radio Free Palmer. And I know that's the kind of spirit and love a lot of people have for this community, that we all contribute in our own different ways. And so, you know, I want to thank you, and I want to thank everybody that goes into this organization. But there's many organizations throughout the town that do the same things and promote their own health and their own interests. And to collectively and together, you know, that's what makes Palmer the place to be.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.